From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of December, the shortest day of the year. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington has ruled the Commerce Department cannot impose both countervailing and anti-dumping duties on a single imported product. And the Army Corps of Engineers has released a third-party report justifying its actions related to the release of waters into the floodplains of the Missouri River last year. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll take you back through the crop insurance re-rating story we did a couple of weeks ago with Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke. Don't forget that at the end of the half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And that it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Wednesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day higher. Nearby March contract and the soft red winter wheat at $6.17, up 9.25 for the day. The May at $6.35.75, up 9. And July soft red at $6.52.25 in Chicago, up 8.5 cents. The hard red July, the harvest month, at $6.86.5 in Kansas City, up 2.75. March contract in the corn pit at $6.16.5, 9.5 cents higher. May futures at $6.25.25, up 9.5. July 9.5 higher as well at $6.31.75. September corn at $5.92.75, up 8.25. And December contract at $5.70.75 up 7.25. March contract next year at $5.82.75, up 6.75 cents. January beans at $11.53.75, up 9.25. The March at $11.63.25, 8.75 higher. May soybeans at $11.73.75, up 9. July at $11.83.75, 9. higher, and November beans at $11.75.5, up 9 cents for the day. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the February contract at 120.45, down 20. March feeders at 146.85, 67.5 cents lower, and the lean hogs finished the February futures at $83.27.5, down 82.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil futures at $98.78 a barrel, down $1.54. That's rather up $1.54. Ethanol at $2.15.7, a penny and 7 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.16.5, up 3 7 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel 6 1/10 cent higher at $2.91 1/10. And the gold futures on the afternoon down $3.70, a troy ounce at $1,611.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,071, just about 32 points lower. The dollar at 80.01, up 0.13. The CRB index at 303.90, that's 2.23 higher for the day. There is a hazardous weather outlook for portions of central Illinois and east central Illinois and southeastern Illinois. That as it relates to fog and its development later this evening, so you should be on the lookout for it if you are in Cass, Champaign, Christian, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Eppingham, Fulton, Jasper, Knox, Logan, Macon, Marshall, Mason, McLean, Menard, Morgan, Moultrie, Peoria, Piatt, Sangamon, Schuyler, Scott, Shelby, Stark, Tazewell, Vermilion, or Wofford counties. Here's what the weather forecast says for the rest of the afternoon. A chance of drizzle before 3 o'clock today. Not too far away, Central Time. It'll be cloudy, a high of 45, with a west-southwest wind between 11 and 13 tonight. Mostly cloudy, a low of 33, with a west-southwest wind at 7 to 10. And mostly cloudy on Thursday, a high of 43. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 30. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 36. Friday night, cloudy, and a low of 25. Saturday, mostly sunny Christmas Eve, a high of 37. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of, get this, 25 degrees. On Christmas Day, mostly sunny, and a high near 30. 38 Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 25 Monday, mostly sunny and a high of 41 degrees. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets now, Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, as we take a look at the marketplace, everything turned just a bit green for the day, and that's kind of nice as we head into the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, were hoping we would see some sort of a price improvement here as we go into the Christmas, New Year's time frame, and we are seeing it, in the marketplace. Oh, about 10:30, 11, there was a forecast that came out that in the 11 to 15 day area, the Buenos Aires area would basically be a little drier. Between now and Friday, we are expecting some rain in that important growing area of western Buenos Aires and Cordoba area. This afternoon, when you look at the radar, there is some rain in eastern Buenos Aires as we're talking. The big factor here, of course, the market was extremely short. The computer doesn't turn friendly on the beans until 11:72. March corn 624 and March wheat at 627. We did see a lot of short covering. There was some activity. We did have some interest in people talking about new crop corn and writing calls above the market. So it did give a little bit of at least hope that a farmer can get, $6 plus for corn sometime for January delivery.
When that cash price shows up, I take it you want producers to sell another parcel, and how much should they finish it off?
Well, good question. You know, we do know that the government does have an important, January production report. We do know that we're probably going to see too many acres of corn, soybeans, and wheat planted next year, and I would be a seller of people that, still have something to market. The percentage-wise, we're going to let them guess about what percentage they should do. We did talk to people in Iowa, and their take is the farmers own 50% of the corn and soybeans, and other sources at other locations thinks it's a little higher than that. So somewhere between that 50 and 60% ownership. The 50% is seasonally and historically normal from the past.
Okay, so make a $6 sale, depending on who you are, for old crop cash. What about new crop? Are you
well? We're of the opinion that that $5.75 to $6 level on the futures contracts, people can take some appropriate action there. The carryover jumps from the government's figures of 848 to $1.6 billion, and if you got twice the carryover, we could unfortunately tease that $5 level, the high $4 level in corn next year. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that, and with as much stress as we had, and the better hybrids, and also with as much new drain tile that's going in the Midwest, it does help. So, it does argue well that not only is production ratcheting up here in the U.S., people have also taken advantage of that around the world as well.
It seems like the dollar has not been above 80 for a very long time. But it wasn't all that so long ago, I suppose, maybe January of 10. What do you make of the dollar moving above the 80 mark?
Well, it basically signals of utter chaos in Europe. And, of course, this morning we woke up to stories that there was basically a stimulus program for the money center banks. And, of course, several commentators said, are European banks really in this bad a shape? And, the answer is probably yes. They're not lending much money. They've got some tremendous problems. Europe does seem to be the European financial system isn't like our Federal Reserve. They don't understand some of the new mechanics. It's not the central unit like the Federal Reserve here in the U.S. And so they're really kind of, I hate to say out of step, but it sure looks awful elementary compared to the U.S. type of financial system.
I think I said January of 10. It's actually January of 11. So just right at a year ago. Is this going to create much of a problem in the near-term future, do you think, for U.S. commodities?
Well, we are seeing growth, and we are seeing the stock market awfully close to this 1,200, and we are seeing crude oil awfully, above the $90 a barrel mark, and the U.S. economy growing. I think that everybody is of the opinion that Europe is manageable. The unfortunate problem here is that we really don't see this tremendous boom of demand that we've seen in the last several years for corn, soybeans, and wheat out of the U.S.
Any final word from you for the day?
Have a profitable day.
You too. Thanks so much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. You can always hear Paul again, if you'd like, in a couple of different ways. You can visit our website. That's at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Posted not long after it airs on our radio stations, and Commodity Week, our weekend program. That one's posted before it ever airs on any radio stations. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Check out the calendar for our upcoming Ag Outlook dates. And if you're wondering about the all-day Ag Outlook, I don't think that one's in the calendar yet, but you might want to mark March. I believe it's the 6th, which is the first Tuesday in the month of March, for our all-day agricultural outlook. Dave Dickey is busy putting that together and, of course, putting the agricultural news together for the day as well. He'll be here in just a moment.
In agricultural news, the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit in Washington has ruled that U.S. laws do not permit the Commerce Department to apply both countervailing and anti-dumping duties against products from non-market economies such as China. Countervailing duties are imposed against imports deemed to be unfairly state-subsidized. However, a 1984 U.S. court ruling prevented their use against non-market economies, in effect saying it was double counting to impose them on top of anti-dumping tariffs, which are used against imports deemed to be unfairly priced. Many U.S. trade attorneys predict that Congress will amend the appropriate legislation to allow Commerce to impose both anti-dumping and countervailing duties on imports of goods from China that have been found to be traded unfairly. That action could come early in 2012. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk said on Monday he welcomed Japan's decision to review its ban on certain cuts of beef from the U.S. as a sign of Tokyo's interest in joining talks on an Asia-Pacific Free Trade Pact. Kirk says that he is urging Japan to further open its market to U.S. beef exports as quickly as possible. And he told Japanese officials that Tokyo must be prepared to tackle a number of other trade barriers if it wants to join talks on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The partnership now involves the U.S. and eight other countries. Japan currently bans imports of U.S. beef from cattle older than 20 months as a result of several cases of mad cow disease found in the U.S. cattle about 8 years ago. The Army Corps of Engineers released a 99-page report Tuesday written by outside experts who justified the Corps' decision and forecasting during record flooding on the Missouri River this year. The panel found no acts of negligence or problems that helped create the flooding. The report was written by members of the National Weather Service, USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, U.S. Geological Survey, and Colorado State University, who work on water data and studies. The report notes that the Corps of Engineers followed its master manual for the Missouri River in making decisions regarding water storage and releases from dams. Report writers say that in hindsight, more flood storage and earlier releases could have reduced the impact of the flood, but they noted that the master manual would have had to have been revised to allow for that. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program you can hear anytime you'd like, up on our website at willag.org. In fact, you can hear all of our programming on our website at willag.org. Now, up next, a couple of weeks ago, the United States Department of Agriculture released an update to its crop insurance premium rating system. We talked with Gary Schnittke then. We'll have more on that story in a moment.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA's risk management agency, says it will update the methodology to set crop insurance premiums. It will lead to lower insurance premium rates for many corn and soybean producers in the 2012 crop year. On average, RMA Administrator Bill Murphy says the new rates will be 7% lower for corn and 9% lower for soybeans. Now, the adjustments are based on a third-party study. The 7 and 9% reductions are the averages, which of course means there will be higher and lower rates around the nation. Corn Belt states, like Illinois, should be lower, says Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
That study was based on looking at premiums relative to payouts. So, and what they concluded was is that the premiums in the Midwest were too high relative to the payouts, so we have to adjust just the premiums. Nationally, 7%. I would expect that to be higher in Illinois, probably in the 10 to 12% range.
A preliminary map of the adjustments suggests corn premiums will drop by 12% in Illinois and Minnesota, 13% in Iowa, 11% in Indiana, and 7% in Nebraska. Those are the top five corn-producing states. There are some places where the insurance rates will go up. Vermont, for instance, looks to be in for a 12% price hike. Here's how University of Illinois' Gary Schnittke explains the changes.
The risk management agency is supposed to run a actuarially fair insurance book of business, so and they have been doing that. But what we've seen is that corn and soybeans have had lower loss ratios, and many of the other crops have had higher. So as they adjust rates for corn and soybeans down, they'll have to likely do some other premium changes to keep their premiums in line to what they want to accomplish.
RMA periodically reviews premium rates and makes necessary adjustments for actuarial soundness. By the way, updated data pertaining to prevented planting, replant payment, and quality adjustment loss experience was also used in determining the new rates. The RMA released the actuarial documents November the 30th, reflecting the premium rates and other program information that will be effective for the 2012 spring crop season. Now, Gary Schnittke expects to make that data available in the University of Illinois Crop Insurance Decision Tool. Farmers and others in the 12 Midwestern states can use the tool to see preliminary crop insurance premium prices. Final data won't be available until March. Look for the crop insurance section of the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. The folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, now on the phone line to take up what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. Ben Stiller is with us. Thanks so much for being there, Ben. We appreciate that. Tell me about basis and movement of both corn and soybeans in your area.
Sure. Well, corn basis continues to be firm here at our location. We're 15 over at Climbers and 5 over the March at Delphi as well. We're seeing corn basis in general fade a little bit in processors around the area. Due to quite a bit of movement we've seen here in December.
So you're 15 over at the ethanol plant, 5
That's
over
correct.
At the elevator, right?
That's correct, yep.
And as we get closer to the month of January, do you see that ethanol plant bid changing very much and the basis?
Sure thing. Yeah, we are posted right now 12 over the March for January, so that's a 3-cent basis fade, largely due to uncertainty in the margins and ethanol in general and just a lot of natural flow of corn in January.
Because I don't know, do you have bids that go very far out, or is it simply a spot bid?
We do have bids that go all the way out as far as May at this point.
For the ethanol plant, that is?
That's right, yep.
Yeah. So how do they change over those months then?
So January, we're paying 12 over the March. February, we're 14 over the March. March, we're 16 over the March. April, we go to 10 over the May. In May, we go to 15 over the May.
So it's pretty steady all the way out.
Pretty steady, yep.
Okay. Then you're expecting that ethanol will be a valuable commodity over at least the first 6 months of the marketing year or of the calendar year then.
We are anticipating that.
All right. Tell me about what the other processors in the area that take in beans are doing at this time.
Bean basis, we haven't seen a whole lot of change in the area. We've seen anywhere from an option price to a 5 over. Producer can get at a processor, be it in Lafayette or Frankfort. So,
okay.
And seems to be pretty firm at this point.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn into Climbers would be $6.31, cash corn into Delphi $6.21, and beans into Delphi would be $11.38.
Anything else we ought to talk about before I let you go?
Well, just that we continue to see some concern about South American weather, so that's kind of what we're seeing drive us up here the past few days, and so continue to encourage producers to sell this rally if they have unpriced specials in terms of the old crop.
Well, you better tell me a bit more. I do have some time. So why is that the feeling within the staff there at the Andersons?
So we certainly are anticipating a large corn crop coming up here, anticipating somewhere in terms of 94 million acres to be planted. So definitely not overly bullish, but we've certainly seen a rally here the past 3 or 4 days, largely due to concerns of South American weather. There's some dryness in Argentina and Brazil, and so we anticipate once the forecast changes there and gets some rain that we could go back to the levels we were trading.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Todd.
Ben Stiller is with the Andersons Climbers facility. He's in Delphi, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We talk to somebody from that office each and every Wednesday. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll hear more about that South American weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It's National French Fried Shrimp Day. In the U.S., shrimp harvesting was known as early as the 17th century in Louisiana, where bayou inhabitants used nets of up to 2,000 feet in circumference. By the way, it was not until 1917 that motorized boats used trawl nets to catch shrimp. On this day in agricultural history in 1620, Mayflower pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock on the western side of Cape Cod Bay. During the first winter, more than half of the settlers died as a result of poor nutrition and inadequate housing. But the colony survived due in part to Squanto, a native to the New World, who taught the pilgrims how to plant corn and where to fish and trap beaver. In 1773, Robert Brown was born, a Scottish botanist. He improved the natural classification of plants by establishing and defining new families. In 1829, the first stone arch railroad bridge in the U.S. was dedicated in Baltimore. Construction took over 9 months and involved some 1,500 tons of granite. Overall, the bridge stands 62 feet tall and is 300 feet long. In 1944, horse racing was banned in the U.S. until after World War II. And although it doesn't have much to do with agriculture, on this day in 1950, Bing Crosby's White Christmas topped the charts. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated on the phone line to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, thanks for taking the time. Merry Christmas to you. Let's look forward to the weekend right here in our part of the world first. What kind of 24th and 5th can we expect?
Well, it's going to be all right. There's a storm system really passing off to our southwest just before the official holiday gets here. That'll be Friday into Saturday, and that actually it'll be Thursday and Friday, sorry. That'll actually pass off to the southeast of the majority of the region, but the Ohio River Valley itself will likely get involved with a little bit of rainfall, perhaps a little bit of wet snow on the northern fringe of the region. That would probably include places like maybe central and northern Indiana and northern Ohio, and this would occur briefly, mostly Thursday night into Friday morning. The entire storm system will be off into the northeastern states already by Friday at about dawn, so not much coming out of that. There'll be a real wimpy little disturbance in the Great Lakes region, perhaps over the weekend itself, but there shouldn't be any other precipitation of much consequence for the holiday weekend, and our next storm system will probably hold off for quite a little while, actually. We'll have a cold front coming down from the northwest, bringing some cooler air into the upper parts of the Midwest as it moves from Monday afternoon into Tuesday of next week, and maybe a few snow showers in the Great Lakes region, but there's not going to be any major storms impacting the region for a while. So pretty good travel conditions overall.
Take a look back at the last 24 to 48 hours. Been a little bit of precipitation across our part of the world. How much in that time frame?
Yeah, well, it depends on where you are. The rains were certainly significant out across parts of hard red wheat country, and from there into parts of west central Illinois. There was quite a few areas that received some 1 to 2 and local 3-inch amounts. Missouri was targeted for some of the heaviest rains. The precipitation further to the east hasn't been quite that impressive, running a couple tenths to maybe about 3/4 of an inch. Much of it has been on the light side, but still, it's additional moisture on top of a saturated soil, so we're staying plenty moist.
And then turn your attention to South America. They have begun to dry out.
That's an understatement, I think, right now. Yesterday afternoon, highs across Argentina were in the upper 90s to about 105 degrees. It was very dry across the entire country yesterday. In fact, it has been all this week. The topsoil moisture is completely depleted at this point. Subsoil moisture is just marginally adequate, mostly on the short side. So the stress levels in Argentina right now are as high as they've been any other time this season. And it will continue today. We have a few thunderstorms that are occurring in parts of Buenos Aires and southern Entre Rios right now, but that is not the main rain event. The main rain event will occur tonight and tomorrow. We will get some relief in Argentina, definitely cooler temperatures, and about a half to maybe an inch and a half of rain across maybe 70% of the crop country. So it'll be a nice little rain event. There is potential for some severe thunderstorms and maybe a little bit of damage from wind and hail, along with some locally heavier amounts of rain, more than an inch and a half. But it sounds a lot better than it's really going to be. We'll turn right around and see dry weather from this weekend through most of next week, and the temperatures will heat back up by this time next week as well. So we're not done with the stress, but at least a temporary bit of relief for them coming up here right away.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
All right. You have a great holiday.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.